The Sound of Hockey episode 258. We're calling this one the Mackenzie Weegar episode. Why are we calling it that, John?
Mackenzie Weegar has shot the puck on net 258 times from his backhand.
Okay. I don't even know how you found that one. That one's
a deep cut.
It's a very deep cut. One of the deeper cuts that you've had. That's okay. It is Sound of Hockey. I am Darren Brown at Darren Fun Brown on the Twitter, joined as always by John Barr. Hello, John.
Hello, everybody. I'm NHL 2 Seattle on the X.
And make sure to follow us at @sound_hockey. Also, no Curtis tonight, but he will be back with us very soon. I think we talked about this recently, either on the main pod or on the Patreon mailbag, that he is officially part of the show, but he kind of comes and goes when he's unavailable.
And he will be on the Patreon mailbag.
That's right.
That's available to patrons.
Patreon members. So
that's right.
And thank you again to all those folks. We start with a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We have two of them, in fact. One of them comes from Ballard Kraken fan. It says, a real game changer. It says, this one might be long. Sorry.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I'm a Seattleite born and raised. It's very good, though. So I'm a Seattleite born and raised, turned from a casual T-Birds fan to a Kraken fan as a product of last season's thrilling playoff run. You were right, John. As well as a good friend getting a job with the team who knew pro sports teams had librarians. Possible future interview. Oh, interesting. Once I became obsessed, I knew I had to find a Kraken podcast to binge and tried a few before settling on this one. I came for the large scope of the pod. Love that they talk about juniors and the women's game. I'm staying for the quality of the hosts. That's us.
Us?
That's us. I wanted to get all the info on the history of the team, so I listened to the entire back catalog, and let me say, it was well worth it. Now that I am well caught up, I am stoked to join the 5-star reviewer club. I feel like I got to know the full history of the franchise, but also got some great nuggets that make me feel like a true part of Crap Weasel Nation. Quick highlights, getting to know Andy and laughing with him through uncomfortable moments. Darren's off-the-rails exploits, my favorite of which being the skiing and peeing story.
Of course.
That's a classic.
Yeah.
It's a classic. John generally being everyone's favorite grouchy dad, but also laughing and having fun despite his hatred of humor. I think they have
you nailed it.
They have you pegged there.
Yeah.
Remember the pod where everyone thought you were the drunk one? Hilarious. Curtis's voice, which is 5 stars all by itself, except for last week, I will say. Thank you so much for continuing to make this podcast. I know it can be thankless at times, but I and many others are very grateful for the hosts and Sam's hard work. Hell yeah, Sam!
Nice.
Shout out, Sam!
Sam's
the editor. People don't know much about Sam, but he lurks in the shadows and edits our podcast for us. So we are also very grateful for his work. It truly has made such a difference in my life. I now cannot stop saying college soda, and I'm taking up an adult learn to play class at KCI. I even went to watch training camp and convinced my fellow fans to sing happy birthday to Wenberg. Very cool. And then there's a PS which says, Darren, you don't have to read this, but I'm going to read it anyway. Well, not quite. It says that I have a habit of saying ladies and gentlemen, which is not all that inclusive. So I'm going to try to work on that. Try not to say ladies and gentlemen as much. I think in the context of like, I'll say, ladies and gentlemen, we got them or something
like
that. So it's a fair point. And I try to be very inclusive. And I think we as a podcast try to be very inclusive. But I appreciate that feedback.
Because I appreciate feedback.
Yeah. And I think as far as like inclusivity and being an ally and things like that go, I think that the three of us, John, you, myself, and Curtis, I think we all are very much in that boat. But we also are still, at the end of the day, three men, right? And
white
so
men.
Sometimes
white men.
Right, white men, sometimes we just forget about these things, and so we try very hard, but I really appreciate that feedback, and I'm going to try to do better. So if I do it again, feel free to let me know. Also, colored Game Boy number 2 says, I stole my wife's phone to leave a second review. Love that effort. It says, I was just at the dentist's office getting a filling and was listening to the show while they were in there. Then weekly one-timers came on and I was this close to doing my best, whoopsh, as I always do, with several implements and fingers in my mouth. Glad I caught myself before launching all their equipment across the room. Yeah, same here. Great reviews. Thank you so much for those, Ballard Kraken
Excellent.
Fan and Colored Game Boy number 2. Really appreciate that and appreciate the extra effort of stealing your spouse's phone.
We encourage stealing spouse's phones, right?
Well, specifically with the purpose of leaving another 5-star review.
No, that's other purpose, though.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's problematic to be without their permission. I think it can be problematic,
certainly.
So,
unless it's to leave a review.
Right. Then it's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah. Okay.
Encouraged, even. So.
Okay. Cool.
Anyway, let's get to our Patreon starting lineup. At left wing is Blaze. At center is Patrick. At right wing is Trevor J. At left defense is Evan P. At right defense is Sandra P. And at goalie is Cotton. We genuinely appreciate your support as Patreon members, and we can't thank you enough for continuing to be so supportive of us. And we hope that others will join that crew someday soon. How was that? I kept it straight.
Well done.
I kept it straight because people were giving me a hard time for the way that I was reading the Patreon starting lineup. So I just played it straight this time. Was that better? I think that was better, right?
It was better. We'll That's what the see people what want. The community see, says, right?
Yeah. Okay. We'll find out. There's been three Kraken games since our last recording. The first one was a 7-4 win against Carolina, and boy, did the boys need that one because at the time they were still winless. Joey was in net that night. Did they score first in this one? I think they did, right?
Yep.
And then Carolina answered. Joey made a huge save at the end of the first period, remember, where he did that like full split. And at that point, it was 3-1. So that kept it 3-1. And I think that ended up being a bigger save than people realize in retrospect in that game. The goals were scored by Gord Schwartz. Pierre-Edouard Belmar got his first as a Kraken. Vince Dunn scored. Jared McCann scored, Ty Cartier scored his first actual regular season goal, and then Oliver Bjorstrand had an empty netter. So going into the third, they had a 4-1 lead to start the third. They gave up a couple goals to make it 4-3.
It's a little scary at that point,
a little bit,
right?
Yeah. Scary, definitely, but they kind of bent and didn't break, scored a couple more goals. McCann got his, Cartier got his, and that made it 6-3, and then it was like, all right, now we can kind of relax. But it was a really crazy night. There were 6 third period goals, so yeah. It was a wild one. For sure.
Yeah, I got a little nervous there. Yeah. I mean, I felt like, oh, this is a great game for the Kraken. But even when they made it 4-3, when Carolina made it 4-3 and got within one, the pushback was pretty strong, even though they didn't score right away. But it felt like they're not kind of shelling up and just protecting the defensive zone. I thought they played fine.
Yeah, I would agree. And I do want to call out also that this was... So I've started my NHL.com game story gig, which is going fine. But part of that gig, you're supposed to submit something right at the buzzer with all the goals that have happened and who won the game and everything. And you always hear people talking about like, oh, it's so stressful to write on deadline and complaining about things. And I do have to say, with my first taste of true third period chaos here, 6 third period goals was a lot to deal with. I will genuinely say that it was quite stressful, but I made it through. So I did it, everybody.
Andy used to share this with us, right? Mm-hmm. Like that he'd be like all stressed or he'd be all agitated if they scored in the third after his story was pretty much written.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I feel you.
Everyone's just rooting for like the most boring game up there, right? Just like you know exactly what's happening with the third period. Nobody scores in the third period.
Nothing it's unpredictable.
Just quiet.
Particularly the last 10 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think for the fans, it's probably a little bit more interesting if there are third period goals. So that did certainly happen that night. Worth noting, the Hurricanes were without some of their best players. So no Sebastian Aho, no starting goalie in Frederik Andersen. Svechnikov's been out since beginning of the year with a knee injury. I don't know if Brett Pesce played that night either.
I believe he did.
He might have. Okay, yeah. But now he's injured. So, so they've been dealing with a lot of injuries, and the Hurricanes have not gotten off to a good start at all. So they're definitely a beatable team right now. You know that later on in the season, they're going to be much better. And by the time you hear this, the Kraken will likely be gearing up to play against the Hurricanes once again if they haven't played them already for the second time. So
that's right.
Yeah. Also in that game, Ty Cartier stuck up for Jared McCann, who Brendan Lemieux had just run over in the third period and taken a penalty. And when Lemieux came out of the box, Cartier went right after him. And it didn't go very well for Cartier because Brendan Lemieux is a very experienced fighter. But at the same time, I think that Cartier earns a lot of respect from his teammates from doing something like that. Would you agree, John?
Totally. Not the guy you really want taking on, Brendan Lemieux, but gotta hand it to him for not backing down. And it's, you know, maybe this is a theme we'll come up a little bit later, but there has been a little bit of, I don't know, people taking runs at Kraken players and without as much pushback as maybe we would like to see, I guess.
As some would like to see.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Seth Jarvis, friend of the pod, also had 2 goals for Carolina. So shout out to
Seth. He finally
Seth
got the
Jarvis
sound of hockey bump.
That's right. That he's been waiting on for so long, certainly. So, but nonetheless, big win for the boys. Oh, I just turned on my flashlight. That's why it looks so weird in here all of a sudden, John. Turn that off. Yeah, that was just very confusing. So anyway, important win. I don't know. I think this was one of those where I think we came into it and we said it last week that we thought that once they got a bunch of goals, the floodgates would kind of open. And they did for one night. But then the Ranger game came. And so here's the thing that I want to say, though, is, and obviously, Kraken fans, you know, they won, lost, and then won in these last three games. I think back to last season, and I swear there are moments like this where you thought, like, okay, they're about to go on a run here, and then they'd win a game like they did in convincing fashion against Carolina. Then they'd come out and play a terrible game the next game, and then they'd go on a run after that. So I wonder if that's what's going to happen here, if they've, like, had the little, like, one step forward, one step back, and then a big lunge forward.
Five steps forward.
We'll see. Yeah. Maybe that's overly optimistic. We'll see. But the Rangers game was terrible in a lot of different ways. They did not play very well last night. That night, I should say. They didn't generate much offense at all. They scored one goal early in the game on a Justin Schultz one-timer. But that was pretty much it from the offense. They just didn't do anything else. Now, this was the night that the lights went out at Climate Pledge Arena, or at least some of the lights. And it was a very strange game from the beginning, right? I think everything just felt a little off. Even, I don't know if you noticed this, but it seemed like they weren't doing all the projections in the pregame show that they normally do. One of the sets of lights stayed on. And then when the lights came up, the set of lights at that end of the rink behind Jonathan Quick didn't come on. So then it was all like messed up. And I did you notice it right away? Like, I could tell there was something off with the lighting, or like
I can't say I noticed it.
I couldn't figure it out for a while.
Yeah, I thought it was a little smoky, but I wasn't sure if that was like more than normal or whatever. Just kind of part of the intros that it just takes some time for it to dissipate. But so I'm not sure that was even an issue.
Even before that, though, I knew it was going to be a weird game because they, you know, at the beginning, they start showing like pictures up on the Jumbotron or whatever of just whatever's going on. Sometimes it's the walk-in pictures of the players. One of the players, and I won't say who, but he got up on the Jumbotron, his fly was open during his walk-in picture. So you knew that things were going to be a little off, and they showed that on the Jumbotron, unfortunately. Again, I won't say what player it is, but from that moment, I was like, this is going to be a weird night. Sure enough, then we go into the whole pregame show feels a little weird. Then the lights don't come on. It just was a strange, strange night from the beginning. And so because of the lights not going on, now they start doing this thing where they switch halfway through each period, which... say it was a problem or not, right? Like, I don't really know if it really impacted people, but thinking of myself as a goalie, it would throw me off a little bit to be like playing at the opposite end from where I'd normally play for a little bit. And sure enough, the Rangers did score a goal right after one of those switches. And you can't really blame it on the switch, right? Because all you're doing is just going to the other end of the ice. It shouldn't be a big thing. But anything like that can throw you off just a little bit.
It's very disruptive to your routines, as Joey would say. I mean, it was odd, and they also didn't like blow the horn at the 10-minute mark. It was like first stoppage after the 10-minute mark, and I think in the third period it was like they switched at like 7:40.
Yeah, so they had a stoppage with 10:05 left. They didn't switch because they weren't past the 10-minute mark, and then the next whistle didn't come for like 3 minutes. So yeah, it was a really weird thing. I couldn't help wondering why they didn't just do the switch in the first period and then just leave them in their regular nets for the second and third. But
right, because it should have equaled out even more.
And then
more.
In the third period, Grubauer came out and they put him at the opposite end from where he would normally start, and that wasn't how they did it in the second period, I don't think.
Well,
very strange.
No, you're right.
Like, they did it in opposite.
No, right? I think they did the second and third period the same.
Right, which makes no sense.
You know why I realized that? Is my geolocation data, as I work with, like, defensive zone faceoffs, was totally screwed up.
Yeah, I had the same exact problem with my geolocation data, so.
No, I had to update all my SQL code, and it was... honestly, I spent so much time, and I referenced that in my Monday musings. I don't know if anybody caught that.
But. Yeah. I'm sorry that you had to spend so much time fixing your geolocation
data. I didn't realize they did that in the third, even though I was at the game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
No, it was weird. It was just a very, very strange night, adding injury to insult on top of a 4-1 loss to the Rangers and a generally terrible night. Andrei Burakovsky also got injured. He just took a little shove from Jacob Trouba in an unfortunate spot on the ice, right? A very vulnerable spot. He went head first, and then he went off the ice holding his, like, shoulder area. So, I don't know if he'd I don't know. I saw a lot of speculation. I won't speculate about what it was, but I have a theory about what it was.
Yeah, we have. I think I have two possible theories, right? Okay. And it's highly likely one of them.
Okay, do you want to say your theory on the count of three? One, two, three. Broken collarbone. Ooh, okay. Yeah. All right. Neither of us actually know that. That's just our guess based on how it happened. So so unfortunately, then he's out for a long time, 6 to 8 weeks. That's a big recovery. And they said he did have surgery on whatever the problem was that he had. So
yeah, I mean, part of me, I'm somewhat hoping it's a collarbone versus a shoulder, like a separated shoulder or anything like that, because those can be chronic, even if you get surgery for them. So
right.
Yeah, that game stunk.
It did.
It stunk out loud. And I rewatched some of the game.
You did. You couldn't watch the whole thing, right?
No, but it was, it's not like New York played that great either. And I think it was
They had one line, I think. The Panarin line with Philip Hedel was really good. Hedel had 3 assists. Panarin had 2 goals. And they had no answer for those guys. But other than that, yeah, I didn't think that they were like that good.
Yeah, and one of Panarin's goals was pretty lucky, right? Like the one that popped and bounced off like 7 people and landed right in a stick in the slot.
Although he did glove it down himself. It was a pretty skilled play.
Fair enough. But
you're right. I mean, the puck comes right to him in the slot. I asked him, by the way, because now I go to both locker rooms as part of the NHL thing. I asked him after the game what he made about the whole lighting situation, if it was a big deal. And he said he prefers it darker because it gives him a better chance against the goalies. So makes it harder for the goalies. He also said that he was the one that did it. Like he pulled the plug on the lights, which is pretty funny. So, okay. Those are the games from, oh no, we forgot about the Red Wings game. We should probably talk about that one. So,
yeah, that one was fun.
Yeah, so most recently the Kraken beat the Red Wings in thrilling emotional roller coaster fashion. I was like, okay, we got a win here. Oh my God, we have frittered this one away. Oh my God, they've tied it. At least they've gotten a point out of it. Oh my God, they're going to a shootout. They're going to lose for sure. Oh no, they hit the post. Oh my God, they won. So that was pretty much how it was. And then we hit the brakes and pulled back into the station. And then we removed our safety belts and our lap bars and we exited to the right as we climbed off of the roller coaster. You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
Did it take you a while to understand what I was talking about there?
No. I was like wondering why, but.
Okay. Because it was a roller coaster.
Yeah, I got
you. Roller coaster of emotions.
I got you.
So the Red Wings scored first. The Kraken tied it with a power play goal by Jaden Schwartz. It was very similar to the power play goal he had scored against Carolina. Basically, what happened was he took the faceoff, which I thought was interesting. Jaden Schwartz has been taking faceoffs on the power play. Matty Beniers was out there. So I thought that was interesting that Schwartz took the draw. Unless, did Beniers get thrown out before that?
No, I don't think so.
So they just sent Schwartz in. So anyway, he like partially won it. I went back and watched the replay a couple times. He partially won it straight to the side to Beniers. Beniers had to kind of battle for it. So you watch Schwartz kind of go over to support that play. Once he saw that Beniers had won the puck back to Vince Dunn, Schwartz just did a hard turn, sprinted straight for the top of the crease. And then Vince Dunn tried to make a pass down to Yamamoto. It didn't connect. It hit off the end boards and popped right back out to Schwartz, and Schwartz scored. So it was like, it was perfect the way that Schwartz handled it, right? He partially wins the faceoff until it's won. He goes and supports the puck, right? Sees that that's won. Now he says, okay, I'm just getting to the front of the net, right? And that's what makes him so good, is he's always willing to go right to the front of the net. It's exactly the way that he scored the power play goal, as I mentioned, against Carolina. He wasn't done there. He had another goal later in the game where, well, just after he had thrown his stick to break up a Red Wings opportunity, Ty Cartier scored. And now I've skipped over Schwartz's second goal. I'm doing a terrible job of recapping this game. That's okay. But anyway, he scored on just a big slap shot that just somehow beat Billy Husso to make it 2-1. And then he threw his stick to break up an Olimata opportunity. Ty Cartier scored to take them to, let's see, it was 3-1 then, right? Heading to the third. Red Wings had 3 power play goals in the third, which made it 4-3. And now many pants were soiled in Krakenland.
So there was a lot of chatter about that thrown stick by Schwartz.
From Red Wings fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some former player that I retweeted, now I forget who it was. But you also hear that apparently the referee apologized to Lalonde in the second intermission.
I did see that, yeah.
And so now that makes me wonder about
the many power plays they got in the third period.
Yeah, I mean, the Devin Shore one is like, it's high stick.
And he bled. Not too much you can do about it.
Yeah. And sometimes it didn't seem like it was bleeding that much. And sometimes they're like, oh, he's not bleeding that much because it was like inside his lip. But the Wennberg one, I did not think was a penalty.
Right, where he skated to catch up to him on a breakaway.
Yeah, holding him, hooking him, or anything. Was right there in lockstep. And
I agree with you.
So Eberle was a tripping one. That was, I understood why they called it, but they don't always call those because he was kind of falling down as he tripped the guy. So I don't know. I mean, they gave him opportunities to make up for it.
I think they more than made up for it, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Like, they did score 3 power play goals.
Yeah.
So
they had another power play that they did not score on, correct, with the second Devin Shore one.
So if you're claiming that, you know, the refs cost you the game when you were given 4 power plays in the third period, you scored on 3 of them, your argument kind of goes out the window.
Yeah,
so.
And you were up 4-3.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, we're obviously not biased, though, any kind of opinion like
that.
We
are very unbiased.
Right. I write for NHL.com, so yeah, I'm totally neutral here.
Of course.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think you can overstate how important that win was. Like, I know we're super early in the season here, but man, if they had lost that one, too... Right? Yeah, I mean, after going up with a 2-goal lead heading to the third and giving up 3 power play, that would have stunk. What I was really impressed by, though, is that after they did give up that 3rd power play goal, they didn't really slump, right? They pushed right back. I think Curtis pointed out that the shots after that were 10-2 Kraken for the rest of the game, and they got the tying goal with under 2 minutes left. And that one, by the way, I wanted to call out because Jaden Schwartz was definitely my star of the game for this one. Aside from his 2 goals, he and his successful stick throw. He was the one that was screening in front of Ville Husso on the Jared McCann goal. So he was everywhere. He was just a fantastic night for
him.
You know,
I've been thinking about him for a while.
Find someone who looks at you the way that John Barr just randomly thinks about Jaden Schwartz.
That's not quite it, but okay. I just think he's like one of the most underrated Kraken players. Mm-hmm. I think Wennberg's pretty underrated, but I think Schwartz has been like pretty stable. He was out a lot the first year. He got hurt a lot the first season. But last year, I thought he was great. I think he's good in the playoffs. And I just think he's like the most underrated Kraken player. And he's leading the team in goals right now. So,
okay. That's it?
That's it.
All right. You won the weekly wager. So congratulations on that. I owe you $1.
Yeah.
I unfortunately went to Vancouver this past weekend for 24 hours and I gave away my $10. So...
Can Venmo me the dollar.
I'll Venmo you $1. Yeah. So what's happening next? Do we have a wager for next week now?
So we're going to relaunch this.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad that you're saying that because I didn't actually like this one. I hated that I was like kind of in a corner and had to take the under because I wouldn't have taken that under. That's just not a fun thing to root for.
We're going
to
crowdsource this a bit.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say right now.
All right.
So there might be some community
involvement.
That's right.
Yeah.
So... be on notice for next week.
So you're not placing a wager for this coming week.
No
correct?
Wagers. No.
All right. Can I just place a wager then?
Do you want to place a wager?
Yeah. I got to think. I haven't actually thought of anything yet, though. All right. I'm going to put a pin in that. Maybe we'll come back to it later.
Okay.
So I might put a wager out there for this next week. So. And then roster moves, we have Devin Shore called up, but we knew that already. And then Andrei Burakovsky is out 6 to 8 weeks is the official announcement there, which is unfortunate.
Did we know Devin Shore?
Well, we talked about him getting called for a high stick in the Red Wings
game.
We
did that.
So that would imply that he was, in fact, called up.
I thought you were implying we mentioned calling him up.
Yeah. So. The Kraken also announced that they will have some specialty jerseys again. Now, this is a little confusing to me because the NHL has sort of banned teams from making players wear these, right? So how are they going to use these jerseys exactly, John? Do you know?
Well, specifically, they can't mandate they wear them in warmups. Actually, they can't wear them in warmups at all.
Right.
But there's definitely some chatter about players choosing, like, basically profiling them and showing off the jerseys, whether it be like at a practice or kind of off the ice or something like that. So I doubt we'll see like more than 5 players wearing these, but it's usually for photo shoots and promo materials. But I got to say, man, they look pretty awesome.
Yeah, they always do. The Kraken do such a good job with these. They're fantastic. They get local artists and artists from the communities that are being promoted to design the logos. And consistently, they just look so great. So well
and
done.
The women in Hockey Night, that thing is unreal.
Yeah, so, it's sharp. Yeah. Very sharp. Also, on this note, Travis Dermott, the hero we never knew we always needed, he just said no to the rule of banning players from wearing pride tape or using pride tape on their stick, and he just put some pride tape on his stick and went out and played hockey.
And apparently he's done that plenty of times before.
And so just nobody noticed?
Yeah.
Or except, nobody called attention to it?
No, but in prior seasons.
Okay,
right?
I see.
So, and then he's like, F it, and did this deliberately.
Mm-hmm.
I read an interview with him, and he was felt a little bit bad because it put some people in a bad spot, equipment managers in particular, I think he called out, as like it puts, they're ultimately responsible, so it put them in a tough spot. So that's why he didn't do it the next game.
Mm-hmm.
But he said he wasn't done, kind of, and he stirred the pot a little bit.
Yeah, very much. It definitely stirred the pot. And what was interesting was then all of a sudden it was like, well, what's the NHL going to do about this, right? Are they going to give some sort of discipline to a guy for that? Like, that would have been probably a misstep. And then they totally reversed course and said, okay, well, not totally, I guess, but they said, okay, players can use pride tape and other tape to promote these
their causes.
Types of
yeah.
causes.
Yeah.
yeah. So I think that's great.
And it was unfortunate it got to this point.
Yeah.
I think we talked about like a,
yes,
I don't think this is done. And we speculated that there's probably some room for this to kind of turn around in a different way. And it did. You know, I know that NHL took a lot of crap for this and somewhat rightfully so, but I also appreciate them kind of admitting their mistake and changing it back. And there's a lot of people that have a hard time admitting mistakes, right? And the NHL is one of them, but by reversing course, they kind of admitted their mistake.
Yeah.
So I can appreciate them willing to do that and changing their stance on this.
And they didn't totally change it, right? They said that the pride tape is something that players can use, but they're still sticking with the, hey, we can't let you make players wear these jerseys, right? They did still tone down the Pride Knights and the...
That's true.
Right.
I mean, which I still think is too far, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's... I think if somebody doesn't want to wear it, fine.
Yeah.
Don't wear
but
it.
Good. I mean, how about Travis Dermott, though, right? He's you know, what's the worst that can happen here? They give me a fine or, you know, like... And he just went out and did what he thought was right. And it...
Yeah, and I don't think he made a big deal about it.
But
somebody saw it and caught it.
Yeah.
And so, which is great. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Travis Dermott. So,
like now, or you were before?
Now,
yeah.
I mean, I didn't not like him before, but now I like him.
Yeah, yeah. We now move on to everyone's favorite segment, which is Goalie Gear Corner. This week's Goalie Gear Corner is not necessarily like a brand new setup or anything like that, because this goalie has been wearing this particular mask for a while, but I thought it deserved a little bit of attention. The mask that Mackenzie Blackwood has now since moving over to the San Jose Sharks is awesome. I think it might be the best in the league for this particular season. It's almost like if you took the Joker and a shark face and mixed them together, this is what you'd get. It's so cool. He's got like, it's almost like a demonic shark, right? So like the teeth are on the side of the mask, the eyes are up on the top, and it's a real piece of art. It is absolutely beautiful. I love it. So
I, like
I wanted to call
too.
That out.
Yeah.
Very nice. Fan?
Very, very unique too, mm-hmm. right? Because the shark head's been like kind of done before.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, this is an interesting twist.
Yeah. And that is, it's like a twist on an old classic, right?
Yeah.
Like so many Sharks goalies have done this where the face is kind of like in the shark's mouth and it's almost kind of scary looking. Like I really like it. So well done. Okay. That's our Goalie Gear Corner. That was a pretty quick one, wasn't it? We also have a You Don't See That Every Day. And this is really more of a you don't hear that every day. But in a game between the Dallas Stars and the Pittsburgh Penguins this week, either, I don't know which referee it was either Chris Lee or Furman South were the two referees on this night. But one of them just had a little mix up and ran right into Joe Pavelski. Somehow Joe Pavelski got knocked down. And he's caught on microphone. The referee is caught on microphone saying, "I owe you a beer. I owe you a beer." As they're skating away.
They're skating back up the
yeah,
ice.
It's just so great. And it's kind of a reminder too, that like the refs and the players have this ongoing conversation, right? This dialogue that happens during the games, and they all know each other. They've all seen each other 100 times over the years. And I think back to our interview that we did with Vaughn Rohde from a couple years ago when he was retiring and he started talking about some of those things. And you know, they're just, there's always those kinds of conversations that are happening on the ice. And
yeah,
sometimes I wish that
love it.
You could hear mics open at all times, because yeah, it would be great. So we also have a Bad Boys. Calgary Flames defenseman Rasmus Anderson was suspended for 4 games without pay for, and this one was a pretty nasty hit. It was for charging on Columbus Blue Jackets forward Patrick Laine. And the weird thing about it was like at the final buzzer. Like it was
like at the 1955 mark.
Yeah. It was like a cheap shot among cheap shots, right? It was like, clearly he's just out there for blood because there's 5 seconds left in the game. He's just looking to take a guy's head off, and he nearly did it. So, but Anderson actually appealed the suspension. I think I saw it was to try to keep him in the Heritage Classic or something like that.
Yeah.
But it was upheld. So he is getting his 4 games.
Yeah. And Laine's hurt. He's out. I don't know if he's on IR, but he's out for a bit. So unfortunate stuff, but it is a Bad Boy.
He is a Bad Boy for doing that. So, we now move on to our weekly one-timers. Our first weekly one-timer. Central Scouting has released their early season ratings. Anything interesting here, John?
You know, not a whole lot of local players listed as far as like from the local WHL teams. Berkeley Catton, who plays for the Spokane Chiefs, he could be top 10. He's our A-rated player. Max Curran, who plays for the Tri-City Americans. He's an import, but he's a B-rated player. And Tija Ginla, who used to play for the Seattle Thunderbirds and now plays for the Kelowna Rockets, and, of course, Jerome Ginla's son.
Of course.
He's a B-rated prospect as well. And the other, I mean, it's no surprise, but Macklin Celebrini is an A-rated. He could be the first one overall or top three overall. And just a little bit of a reminder, every time I think of Macklin Celebrini, I think of Andy telling a story about Macklin Celebrini shooting on his nephew and giving him a concussion.
Yes.
So
that's right.
Yeah. So
I forget that's the same guy.
So. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It was many years ago, but it's kind of funny. He's playing for BU right now.
I mean, it's not that funny that he gave Andy's nephew a concussion.
Right. But I saw Andy's nephew and talked about with him at his celebration of life. And I think it's a fun story that he gets to tell. So
definitely.
Yeah.
Our next weekly one-timer, whoosh, Willie O'Ree will get a postage stamp in Canada.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, I think. I like that. Yeah, I think they're going to release the visuals of it like in the next couple of days, and then it'll be available at Canadian post offices next week.
Wow. How about
that?
I
love that.
I can't help wondering if there's anything that we can do like to get in touch with the U.S. Postal Service to create a Sound of Hockey postage stamp. Do you think that's possible?
Crap weasel. I wonder how the process goes, because there was some time where there's some hockey stamps.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't seen them
lately. I think you have to be pretty famous, though, to get yourself on a stamp.
Are you saying we're not famous?
I don't know if we're quite postage stamp famous.
We're not Willie O'Ree famous?
We're not Willie O'Ree. Like, and, you know, he did something really significant in like history too. At the end of the day, we're still just podcasting. So
maybe 30 years from now,
you never know. You never
making stamps.
You never know.
Crap weasel stamps.
Our next weekly one-timer. Whoosh. They are in fact decentralizing the draft, or at least it's getting support. Right?
Highly likely.
And I personally hate this. I'm kind of sad about it.
From a personal perspective, you don't like it,
right? Because of the one time that I went to the draft and it was really cool because all the important people were there at the same time.
Yeah.
And that was cool.
Yeah, I'm a little mixed opinion because I don't feel the people discussing it, like media types, are giving really objective opinions.
Right, because of personal experiences.
Yes, because they want to keep it, because then they can interact with executives and other coworkers, right? It's a fun time. It's a great time.
Yeah.
So speaking of which, how's if they do have this year's draft in person with all the teams— supposed to be in Vegas. Would you consider going?
Why is it always Vegas? Why does everything have to be Vegas?
I don't know.
Ask me in like 2 months when I'm when Vegas isn't so fresh. Okay. Like I'm so Vegas'd out right now. I think we did almost an entire podcast episode about it a couple weeks ago. So if you can put a stake in that one and pull it out in a couple of months, then maybe I can consider it. But
yeah. All right.
For now.
Okay.
For now, I don't know.
I'd like to go, but I'd like to go with you.
Oh.
Yeah.
You inviting me?
Sure. I mean, I don't know. Sure.
Our next weekly one-timer. Whoopsh. The PWHL has released their logo. So that's their like central PWHL logo. So there's still no team names, still no team logos.
Correct. Now, have you taken a look at the logo?
I have. So it's a P and then it's a W with some hockey sticks in it. And then it's an H and an L.
Well, kind of their primary logo is the W.
Okay.
Think of that as the NHL crest. This was their equivalent.
Okay.
So.
And, all right.
I mean, it's hard to like, get excited about a league logo, but I think it's pretty cool. It's got two hockey sticks in it. Got a puck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm down with it.
All right.
Color is purple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't have any like big complaints about it, I guess. I don't think I'm...
Well, that's good.
I don't think I'm over the moon about it. Okay. It's not a...
It's a logo, right?
Yeah. It's a fine logo. I want there to be something hidden in there. Like, what am I missing, right? Like the Hartford Whalers H kind of a thing. Like, is there something
in
there
that I need the teams to do that.
Okay. All right.
I read the design kind of background and stuff, but to me, that's all blah, 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 blah. Not everything is, not just their logo, but yeah.
Of course, yeah. Okay. Well, the logo is out. How about that? So do we have any word on when team names or anything like that are coming?
No, we do not.
Our next weekly one-timer. NHL Edge got released this week, and they also did the Frozen Frenzy. So pretty big week for the NHL. The NHL Edge thing is kind of the advanced analytics advanced stats using the player tracking. So now if you go to, nhl.com/edge, I think, you can see all these advanced stats about like how fast players are skating, how they rank up against other players in the league, how teams rank up.
Yeah.
Right? Did I cover that pretty well?
Yeah, you pretty much nailed it.
That's pretty much everything to know on that. I don't think it gets any deeper than that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, but it's got a long way to go to be useful. And kind of because there's a lot, you know, they don't do it by game. They just kind of like aggregate it for the entire season. So you can't see like trends. Like they have total skating distance. Like what does that mean to you? Anything?
Okay. Here's where I thought it was applicable. And I actually looked at that particular thing was skating distance. And the Kraken as a team do have more skating distance. And the only reason that I think that's interesting is because I've heard a lot of players say that Dave Hextall's system has them skating a lot. And it's like, well, what does that mean? Right? Like, what does that mean that you skate a lot in this system? Well, maybe it really means that more of the guys come deeper into the zone, right? And then they go deeper into the offensive zone. And so this, I think, bears that out because as a team, they've skated a longer distance than other teams. Is that a good way to apply that? Do you think?
Well, yeah. I mean, at least it's funny because when I think of distance and I think of the Kraken and the distance they skate,
I'm really interested to see where this is going to go. How do you think about the distance?
No, but think about their power play.
Okay.
And how often their power play clears it.
Okay. And then they have to skate the length of the ice to retrieve the puck.
Yeah, like everybody has to skate the length. Like, now that is like slowed down, right, skating. So I'm not sure that's exactly, like I don't know what percentage of their total distance traveled is related to power play clears.
Yeah. Well, and it shouldn't matter how fast they're skating, right? Because it's
taking up more time by not going as fast.
Yeah, okay.
Right, where if it's end-to-end action, you're probably covering twice the amount of ice in the same amount of time in a clearing of a power play.
Yeah.
As the other team's changing. The one thing I do wish they would make more accessible is zone time on power play or penalty kill. So you can know how much time they're spending in particularly zones. That to me is very important, and I think Kraken specific, I think they've had a hard time maintaining the zone on power plays or even getting into the zone. Like even last game, they had some zone entries, but they could not set up. And that should manifest itself in zone time percentage on the power play. Mm. And I'd like to see that over time. Like, are they getting better? Are they getting worse? Like, is it against certain teams? Anyway, this is the first release. It's going to get better. Hopefully, they'll provide more access. But it's very hard to, like, get anything useful out of it and at scale where you can, like, pull all players at once. No, you had to kind of pull one player at a time.
To be fair, you are not probably not their target audience here. Somebody who's going to try to pull a bunch of data.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people like me out there. You can do both.
Right.
You know, like on NHL.com/stats, tons of data and reports there that you can you can download and get a bunch of data that you want. Mm. So they obviously know some people like it. So why not apply it to this? I'm not crapping on the NHL for this. I'm just saying that's when it will become a lot more interesting to me.
Okay. So I had a conversation with my sister this week where she was saying that she went on a trip and her friends, who are much taller than her, everybody was wearing Apple Watches. And at the end of the day, the taller people would have way fewer steps. And so she tried to tell me that meant that they had also traveled a shorter distance. And I was like, I don't think that's how it works, because you're still traveling the same distance. It's just taking fewer steps to get there.
Right.
Right. Just felt applicable. That's it. The other thing that happened was the Frozen Frenzy this week. I watched a little bit of it. Now, this happened during the Kraken game against the Red Wings. We were actually at a local watering hole at the time, so it was quite loud
drinking
in there.
Drinking college sodas.
Drinking college sodas. And so it was a weird watching experience in general for that reason, just because we couldn't quite hear what was going on. So like the stick throw thing, I didn't really know had happened until later on when I saw Red Wings fans complaining about it. But they weren't doing the actual Frozen Frenzy in the bar. So I watched like a little bit of it, maybe half an hour before I left to go watch the game with you. But I don't know if I liked it or not. It seemed pretty cool.
Well, didn't you see like the early where there wasn't that many games?
Yeah, there were only a couple of games. So I don't know. To me, it just seemed like they were jumping around between like three or four games.
I think you saw the lowest
point. Too early.
Yeah. Because I rewatched some of it today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, man, I would love that.
Is that right?
If the Kraken are not playing,
yeah,
that serve it up to me like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I usually bounce around all the time anyway.
Yeah.
So I would rather just have somebody else kind of dictate and force me to watch some games that maybe I wouldn't give a chance, but there might be something interesting in there.
It's an interesting concept, that's for sure.
I honestly would love it.
Yeah.
And I think it did really well kind of, not, I don't say peak time, but like after that kind of a lot of games got going. It's still available on ESPN Plus. So I would encourage you to just to like fast forward and like 2 hours in and kind of just take it in.
Yeah.
So
I would be curious to see if they do it again. And I don't feel like they have to do it on a night when all 32 teams are playing. I think they could do it on just like a relatively busy night.
I think if there's 8 games or more,
yeah,
I would watch. I would like that.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. I like it a lot. Our next weekly one-timer. The Vancouver Giants held referee appreciation night this week, which was pretty funny. They had all the players effectively wearing referee jerseys. They really did look like refs out there, which was super confusing.
That is not fair. Like that
it was funny, though.
It was funny, but it was ridiculous, right?
It was ridiculous.
Because the refs were wearing ref jerseys as well.
But they were like, they were a different color. They gave them like cream-colored throwback referee jerseys.
Okay.
But... So they didn't have stripes on.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
So they were... different enough, I think, that if you're playing against them, you wouldn't have confused the players for the referee, other than it probably really messed with people's brains to see the players wearing referee jerseys. So, but it was a pretty funny thing. I thought that was a pretty hilarious gesture. So our final weekly one-timer. Speaking of gestures, Craig Anderson has officially retired now. I think we knew that, but he signed a one-day contract with the Ottawa Senators to retire as a Senator. They had him do a ceremonial face-off, and they brought the two goalies for Buffalo and Ottawa out to take the opening face-off, which I thought was, well, the ceremonial face-off, which I thought was a pretty cool thing to do.
So, love that. Love it.
Those are our weekly one-timers. We close the show with our tweets of the week. John, do you have one?
No.
Tweetless. You are tweetless. I can see it on your face. You don't even have to say it out loud. You are tweetless. So I have two tweets of the week, so I'll cover for you. My first one comes from the Nashville Predators. It says, Pete Rogers supremacy. Pete Rogers is their equipment manager, and he had one of those assists, the quote-unquote assists from the equipment manager, where he hands the stick across the boards to in this case, it's Luke Evangelista. Evangelista goes in, scores on a breakaway, and then the players on the bench just absolutely mob Pete Rodgers, and you can see him celebrating as if he scored the goal himself. It's awesome. I love when stuff like that happens.
I love that too.
Right? Like, isn't that just the most genuine, fantastic reaction there? And all the players love it. You know, it's just it's great.
It's so cool.
I love when stuff like that happens. And was this? I'm looking at it now. Was this goal scored? I'm checking. Sure enough, Mackenzie Blackwood with that great mask getting scored on. So, and then I have a second tweet of the week. This one is a little bit of a winding journey, so stay with me here. There's a joke account called it's mostly a joke account, I think, called Acting the Fooliman. It says, man, the latest Mark Spector piece on the Oilers is brutal. Okay. And he's got a screenshot of what looks like a story written by a journalist. It says, there's an old saying, you can't serve soup in a sieve. The Oilers are finding out their soup's a sieve too. 6 games into a season that began with lofty hopes of lifting Lord Stanley, the Oilers are down in the Pacific basement with only the hapless San Jose Sharks to keep them company. And it goes on and on and on. I'm not going to read the whole thing. This is a joke that was written by Acting the Fooliman. It is satire. And Jim Matheson, who is an actual NHL writer,
as far as we know,
retweets it and says, what is he supposed to say? They have one win for 6 games and have allowed 27 goals. Only San Jose has fewer points. So he has fully, fully taken the bait, retweeted it. He has not taken this tweet down, even though if you look at the replies, many people have been like, this is not real. This is fake. So he's like defending Mark Spector for writing negative stuff about the Oilers when in fact Mark Spector didn't actually write this. It was just fake. So
how did he see it? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Oh, man.
Anyway, those are our tweets of the week. Thank you again to Ballard Kraken fan and the Game Boy Color number 2 or whatever that was for the great 5-star reviews. Please leave your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe on Stitcher. No, not Stitcher. Spotify. Subscribe on Pocket Casts. Leave your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And also, join the Patreon, won't you? You can do that at patreon.com/soundofhockey. We do have, for our Patreon members, a new mailbag episode coming very soon, so be on the lookout for that. Stick taps to Andy. We'll talk to you all very soon for episode 259. Cheers.